Good morning and welcome to this week's podcast for Sunday, the fourth Sunday after Trinity. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Bless the Lord, all you works of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him for ever. Bless the Lord, you heavens. Sing his praise and exalt him for ever. Bless the Lord, you angels of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him for ever. Bless the Lord, all people on earth. Sing his praise and exalt him for ever. O people of God, bless the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him for ever. Bless the Lord, you priests of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him for ever. Bless the Lord, you servants of the Lord. Sing his praise and exalt him for ever. Bless the Lord, all you of upright spirit. Bless the Lord, you that are holy and humble of heart. Bless the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Sing his praise and exalt him for ever. The night has passed, and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. Psalm 56. In God I trust and will not fear. Have mercy on me, O God, for they trample over me. All day long they assault and oppress me. My adversaries trample over me all the day long. Many are they that make proud war against me. In the day of my fear, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust and will not fear, for what can flesh do to me? All day long they wound me with words, and their every thought is to do me evil. They stir up trouble, they lie in wait, marking my steps, they seek my life. Shall they escape for all their wickedness? In anger, O God, cast the peoples down. You have counted up my groaning, put my tears into your bottle. Are they not written in your book? Then shall my enemies turn back on the day when I call upon you. This I know, for God is on my side. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise, in God I trust and will not fear. What can flesh do to me? To you, O God, will I fulfil my vows. To you will I present my offerings of thanks. For you will deliver my soul from death and my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. In God I trust and will not fear. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be for ever. Amen. Faithful God, your deliverance is nearer than we know. Free us from fear, and help us to find courage in your word. Jesus Christ, our Lord. A reading from Mark chapter 5. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered round him, and he stood by the lake. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue, named Jairus, came to him, and when he saw him, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live." So Jesus went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now, there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, for she thought, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her condition. Immediately aware that power had gone out from him, Jesus turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" Jesus looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened, came in fear and trembling, falling down before him and telling him the whole truth. Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house to tell him, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they told him, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." Jesus allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, he saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when Jesus entered, he said to them, "Why do you make such a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." They laughed at him. Then he put them all outside. And he took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in to where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, his companions were overcome with amazement. He strictly ordered his companions that no one should know of this, and told them to give her something to eat. "It's not too late. It's not too late, is it?" A common aspect of these two gospel stories this morning is that these two people went against the flow, against common sense, against the odds. Everyone else had already judged the situation and decided it was useless. It was too late. Nothing could be done. How often do we all do that? This may sometimes be the case, but that is where faith can come in. It wasn't too late for them after all. Their faith changed the situations. Faith then is rather concerning, isn't it? Even alarming. It can make a huge difference. But on the other hand, at what stage do you give up? At what stage do you put your trust in the experts? At what stage does having faith make you look like a fool? One of my good friends from university had their 2-year-old fall from a walkway in a theme park. The child was in critical condition for over a week. Later died. Imagine going through that as parents. I remember discussing the desire of the parents to simply grab the child, pick her up and find she was all right, or to make some grand statement in the name of Jesus and have the child cured. For them, didn't happen. At what stage do we switch off the medical machines? That aspect of life trauma hasn't changed. Humans faced this through the ages, though our understanding and vocabulary about illness has changed. In the story of the woman seeking healing, Jesus' wisdom seems to go further than ours. Jesus sensed things. "Who touched my clothes?" he asks. The disciples probably laughed. What was he thinking about? Everyone's crowding around and pushing against him. "Who touched me, indeed? Who's he kidding?" But Jesus knew. The woman knew. The woman ended up being afraid. She wanted Jesus' healing touch, but like touching for us today, that was taboo. She, in her cultural terms, knew she was unclean and he couldn't touch her to heal her, could he? Contact with a revered teacher, rabbi, who every day kept himself away from the long list of actions that would sully him, would make him unclean too. People would get mad at her if she were to be the cause of that. She probably wasn't even to have a simple conversation with him, given her condition. Women in that day would often remain indoors and stay away from others. Going through some of the purification rites was probably not unlike a mini lockdown. Her situation was hopeless. 12 years. No one would be likely to help her or even want to go near her in her condition. But we know the outcome. She didn't give up. Jesus felt something. She felt it too. He turned and asked who touched him. Now she was afraid, and for good reason. She knelt down before him in fear and trembling. That's actually very sad, isn't it? That the cultural, the religious situation for that woman left her in fear like this. How many women today are living lives of fear? Far too many. Let me mention that subject for a moment, because some of us at St. Andrew's are exploring charities that we might support in the face of modern slavery. Not the same situation, but similar in effect, when cultural outlook does not include seeing all humans as equal in the sight of God, regardless of their condition. And I mention this as it's a serious matter. Ignoring our common humanity, being equal in the sight of God, ignoring this is a slippery slope and dangerous. And for instance, how many nations, for the purposes of war, manipulate their fighters to be inhumane by indoctrinating them into seeing certain other people as beneath them, less than human, to be treated like animals? Oh, and isn't that a dreadful giveaway phrase too, that should be expunged from our culture, that human beings can treat animals as badly as they do? That is another blight on the human race. The thought of St. Francis leapt into my head then. The simplicity of his message remains powerful today. So what's the connection between these things? It's the basic theological principle in Genesis to respect the whole of God's creation. The earth, the plants and animals, the people. And this is what is jettisoned in war. And sadly, this is what is jettisoned very often by us when we look down on other people, or gossip, or harbour hatred. Yes, it is serious, because it makes us no better than those who do dreadful things. And can you see the trap? Are we then to look down on those who do dreadful things? No. This woman's fear was that the rabbi would be angry at her. As it turns out, that couldn't be further from the truth. Jesus loves her. Jesus affirms her faith. Jesus doesn't reject her like so many have. Daughter, he says, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed. Have you ever wondered why Jesus calls this woman daughter? In the circumstances, that's significant. Back to Jesus' journey, some people were no doubt angry that he'd let himself be delayed by this encounter with an unclean person while he was on his way to save the life of a little child. In the meantime, she died. Messengers arrived. The child is dead. You needn't bother the teacher anymore. But Jesus heard this and said to the father, Do not fear, only believe. Again, this seemed to be an impossible situation. People had given up on it. That was common sense. But Jesus has faith and encourages the Father to have faith too. No one else seems to have faith. Notice that Jesus took only his most faithful of followers with him. Perhaps he knew they had faith. The outcome we know. She was healed. We live in a society that can fix many of our ills, especially medical ones. But we're constantly beset by other ills in our world, and most seem to stem from the abuse of power resulting in poverty, not sharing vaccines, human rights abuse. This derives from having the wrong attitude towards God's creation, and we, in the church, are not immune from this. Can we have faith? Faith can heal our minds. The question is, when do we admit defeat, accepting the way things are, and when do we have faith, like the woman who had suffered much and went against the grain? In these two Bible stories, a change happened. People had faith, and having faith led to action. What do we have faith in? And what do we do as a result of having faith? That is the truly spiritual question. It could change the world, like Jesus did. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. The Collect. Gracious Father, by the obedience of Jesus, you brought salvation to our wayward world. Draw us into harmony with your will in creation, that we may find all things restored in him, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless us and preserve us from all evil, and keep us in eternal life. Amen. Today, let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God.